Our sermon from Pastor today is The Holy Spirit Convicts.
I'd like to go back, if it's all right, just to pick up a couple of verses because I feel like we really need a context. And so in John 15, verses 26 and 27, we find these words. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So, Jesus is talking about testimony. He's talking about testifying. And then he starts in talking a little bit more about what it's going to look like. So, I want us to realize that you and I have been called to bear witness. Amen? All right. We are to testify. Romans 10:14 says, but how will they call on him if they've not heard of him? How are they going to believe on him if they have not heard? How will they hear if there is not a preacher? Now, guys, I want you to think for a moment. He's not talking about what we call the preacher today. Okay? You look at me and you might say, well, he's the preacher, all right? All right, in our understanding, that's true. But what was he talking about here? He's talking about every individual who comes to know Christ must testify and be a preacher. Okay? So, you and I are all called. Actually, a better word for what I am is the pastor, who does get up and preach, but you also are to preach. Not necessarily from the pulpit, but in the world. All right? Now, one of the other things we need to recognize is that many times opposition comes from unexpected sources. Jesus was telling the people, when you accept me, the synagogue that you have grown up in from the time you were wee little tykes is going to be upset with you and they're going to attack you. In fact, they will come to the point that they will seek to kill you. Perfect example. Stephen. This is exactly, you know, Stephen grew up in the synagogue, and yet it was the synagogue that rose up against him. And Paul's there cheering them on, and he says, I'll hold your cloaks. He wasn't old enough to be one of the ones that would have been throwing the stones at that time. But he says, I'll hold your cloaks because I'm right behind you. And then Paul turns right around and he becomes a leader of those who are killing the early disciples, putting them in prison. Now, you see, many times opposition can come within the quote church. How many people have experienced being kicked out of a church because of their beliefs? Well, you know, it's not as uncommon as you might think. I know of people within this congregation who have had that experience. You know, I think I couldn't imagine that. But there's a lot of things in this world that you and I can't imagine that do take place. Well, Jesus basically told him, you know what? They never knew me. They never knew my Father. Yes, they were religious. Yes, they were the children of Abraham. But they did not know the Father, and they did not know me. Now he then goes ahead and says, now I'm telling you this because the time that I'm here with you is growing to a close. And he goes ahead and he says, and you haven't really understood what it is and not even really cared about the fact of where I'm going. You see, if you remember the discussion that came up back a few weeks ago, there was a disciple who said, well, where are you going and how can we get there if we don't know where you're going? But the thing was, they were concerned about the fact that Jesus was not going to be there with them. They were more concerned about that than the fact that he was going to go back to the Father. He was going to be again in glory. But they were concerned about being left behind. You guys, I understand that. Because you and I get left behind when our loved ones leave this earth, don't we? And we mourn. And we cry out. And that's the humanness in us. But we have to also look to the fact that those who know our Savior are no longer living in this world. Amen? Amen. So they have that hope of glory. And that's where we need to focus. And as we shed tears for our sorrow, we need to remind ourselves, hallelujah, they no longer sorrow. Amen?
Amen.
All right. But I want you to realize that you and I, many times in our life, get it all wrong. All right? I know it's hard. You can't believe that your pastor's saying this, can you? All right? But what does the Bible tell us about sin? Whose job is it to convict of sin? All right. But how often do we want to do that job? How often have we tried to do that job? You see, we have a job. What were we just told? Our job is to preach, to tell, to shout, to do whatever it is to get the message out. But then let go of it. Okay, so does that mean if I've gotten done preaching and I can see this blank stare that I need to preach it again? All right, Kim, you're ready. Okay. It means that, no, I have to now let the Holy Spirit do His work. Amen?
Amen?
My job is to get the message out there. Your job is to get the message out there. So if you've got an unsaved brother or sister, your job is to say, I love you so much that I want to talk to you about eternity. I want to talk to you about the fact that there is a judgment. I want to talk to you about the fact that we need cleansed from our sin. But then, let go and let God. I haven't had some of those conversations that I know I need to have. And sometimes I start praying, I say, Lord, you're going to have to tell me when. Well, I'm not sure there's ever going to be a perfect time. And what happens if I wait until that perfect time and it hasn't come and then they are dead? The Bible says it is appointed once unto man to die and then the judgment. So guys, if we wait for that perfect time and it hasn't come and our loved ones don't know Jesus because we didn't tell them, you remember the Old Testament prophet? He said, you're held accountable for those you don't tell. You're not held accountable for those you have told. So we've got to make sure that we can speak the truth in love and simply let the concern be there, give them the information, and then stop. Because it says, It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict of sin. And then it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict of righteousness. Now I want to stop for just a moment because I want us to think about sin. All right. Emma, what's a sin? Something you do bad? No. Yes. But no. Lily? A lie. Yes, but no. Ava? Murder. Yes, but no. The word sin means missing the mark. What is God's mark? Perfection. So, if I have not chosen the perfect way, I have missed the mark. Now, if I tell a lie, if I murder, if I do any of those things, have I missed the mark? Yes, so they were correct. But if I'm selfish, have I missed the mark? Yes. If I am jealous, have I missed the mark? If I am not patient, have I missed the mark? Oh, would we say that was sin then? Yes, that is sin because we've missed the mark. And that's why you and I need the Holy Spirit so much to empower us. Because in our own power, you and I are going to be selfish. And we are not going to be patient. But in the Holy Spirit, we can be loving, kind, patient. And therefore, with the Holy Spirit, I can begin to actually hit the mark. Amen? Amen. And it is the Holy Spirit who will convict me of when I have missed the mark, and then will help me to get better at hitting the mark. Wouldn't it be great if we hit a bullseye 24/7? All right, let's work towards that. Because we need the Holy Spirit to do that. All right. The Holy Spirit will convict of sin. The Holy Spirit will convict of righteousness, which is learning to hit the mark. That's what righteousness is all about. Learning to walk the way God wants us to work. All right. Then the Holy Spirit says he will convict about judgment. All right, so you've got the picture of a judge. You've got the picture of the jury. You've got the picture. Now, judgment means that you have actually, and I'll see if I can quote this for you, missed the, okay, no, I'll get, that was a sin. Judgment is when you are separated after sentencing. You have been sentenced and you have been found wanting and you are now sentenced and that sentence is separation. But I want us to think a little bit about what Jesus said about that. Matthew 8:12. Talks about the kingdom of heaven. And it's talking about the Israelites and the sons and daughters of the Israelite kingdom. And it says that they are going to be cast out into outer darkness. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does that sound like a pretty picture? These are the Israelites who didn't know the Father, who didn't know the Son, and they will be cast out. Well, what else does he say? Matthew 13, verse 42, talks about how there were tares that had been sown with the good crop. And it says that after the harvest, and they've separated out the tares, the tares are going to be thrown into the furnace of fire. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 30, verse 15, talks about the sea and gathering the sea, but there's going to be bad. And it is also going to be thrown into the furnace of fire. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22, verse 13. Beginning to hear this? Jesus didn't, he wasn't ambiguous, was he? It's pretty pointed. All right? It's the wedding feast. And everyone's gathered in, and there's a guy sitting there without wedding clothes. Now, this is the thing. We would sit there and say, well, just because he didn't have wedding clothes, what's the offense? Well, the offense is the wedding clothes had been provided, and he chose not to put them on. And so that person that did not have wedding clothes was bound hand and foot and thrown into outer darkness. And in that place there is... seems to be a theme. Matthew 24, verse 51. Here we go. We have the servants. They were given certain amount, and two of them invested, one did not. And guess what? The one that did not will be cut into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing. Matthew 25, 30. Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness. All right? Do you hear that? Jesus was not ambiguous. This is the fate of those who have not heard. Guys, I don't want to be held accountable for any of those. So we got to learn to be preachers and speak the truth in love. We don't go up and say, you're going to hell. Because at that point, they've closed their ears. Right? We go up and say, I love you and I am concerned about what's going to happen after you die. Do you know that there's a way to have a wonderful life? And even to have a wonderful life now. Because God wants to give us abundant life. A life full of peace. A life that is filled with the Spirit forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen? But you and I have a job, because we don't want our loved ones. We don't want this world to go to that place of fire, of outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen.